and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and financial year ended 2022. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mr. Gaurav Sekri, Director, Mr. Subodh Kumar Sharma, Director and Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Anurup Arora, Vice President, Business Development. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Gaurav Sekri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Am I audible okay?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay, great. So, good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our first ever earnings conference call today. Today, we would like to present data for fourth quarter of financial year ending 2022. And I would like to begin by expressing my wish and desire that I hope everyone and their families who are on this call are safe and healthy. Given this, that this is our first ever earnings phone call, I will spend a few minutes in very brief. I will explain about our business and overview, after which Subodh, our CEO, will give you the performance for fourth quarter as well as the financial year which is under review. So Tina Rubber was set up in the year 1977, and the business evolved over the years, and we are now the largest end-of-life tire recycler in the country, one of the biggest in Asia, and I believe we would be amongst the top 20 globally as well. Our company is manufacturing high-quality products from recycling end-of-life tires. We primarily focus on truck and bus radial tires. We are into what is defined as material recycling. So we mechanically recover the materials from tires, for example, rubber and steel. And these materials are then put back into the economy. So our business is a prime example of circularity and very much aligned with the sustainability goals. The steel is melted and goes back into making new steel. We also do some value addition of steel by converting steel wire into steel abrasives. The rubber, on the other hand, is developed into products which goes into primarily two buckets. We have a road application where we are pioneers in the country, as well as we make high-end recycled raw materials from the recovered rubber, which go in making new rubber products, high-performance products like tires to low-performance, more basic products like rubber mats. We have five manufacturing locations across India, so we have a very good, very advantageous, strategic presence pan-India. Three of our plants are located at ports, which helps us fully harvest the benefits on logistic costs and in being close proximity to customers. We are the only company in the country in tire recycling, which has a pan-India presence. There are some of our peers who are regional players, so they could be, you know, people who have plants in west and some who have maybe plants in south or north, but there is nobody like us who has a pan-India presence with plants in north, east, west and south. I would like to now pass on to Subodh to please elaborate on the financial performance of the fourth quarter as well as the financial year 22. Over to you, Subodh.
Thank you, Gaurav ji, and good afternoon, gentlemen. Let me first brief you on the fourth quarter financial performance first and then the full year. The operational revenue for the fourth quarter were rupees 64 crores, which grew by 43% year-on-year basis. EBITDA was reported at rupees 9 crores, growing approximately by 46% year-on-year, and EBITDA margin stood at 14.38%. Net profit after tax reported was rupees 5 crores, which grew 4 times year-on-year and by 20% quarter-on-quarter basis, and the PAT margin was 7.66%. On the operational front, the growth in revenue in Q4 FY22 was due to better demand environment and increased capacity utilization on back of de-bottlenecking and growing product value chain. The sales to road sector picked up post-winter from February 2022 onwards as the construction activities resumed after the winter season. There was a push to complete Bundelkhand Expressway and the other national highways and expressway. Demand from tire and conveyor belt company has also increased as natural and synthetic polymer pricing were at all-time high range, which encouraged client to use more and more recycled rubber materials in their rubber compounds. The company secured business of processing of 25,000 tons of CRMB to be completed in next 12 to 16 months. This will help in deployment of 4 mobile blending plants at contractor sites, wherein we shall be supplying the recycled rubber material and contractor will bring their bitumen and we shall be converting this bitumen into the rubberized bitumen for the road construction. New and upgraded version of micronized rubber powder and reclaimed rubber was introduced to tire companies, compelling them to use higher dosages of recycled material, and all the tire companies, because of circular economy and on the cost advantage, are looking for more and more refined product, better product, so that the dosages and the consumptions can be increased. Now let me brief you on the financials for the full year of financial year ending 2022. The operational revenue were rupees 237 crores, a growth of around 82.3% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at rupees 37 crore, representing a growth of about 112% year-on-year. EBITDA margin were reported at 15.56%, while net profit stood was rupees 17 crore, against a minor loss in the previous year. PAT margin improved to 7.12%. For this financial year, sales from road sector increased by 42% year-on-year to rupees 88 crores, while sales from non-road sector increased by 62% to rupees 149 crores. I would like to emphasize here that we started de-risking our business in 2014-15 by adding products for non-road sector like tire and conveyor belting and other rubber-related products. This was initiated due to slowdown in the road infrastructure during that time. In 2014-15, non-road sector contribution was just 41 crores of total revenue, which has grown to 149 crores in last financial year. And with government push on infrastructure and highway, road sector has also grown from 53 crores to 88 crores. The company generated rupees 25 crores of cash profit, from which we were able to reduce our net debt further, and the company also completed refinancing of NBFC loan from SBI, which will result in annual saving of rupees 1 crores. If I talk specifically on the debt, there is approximately 25% reduction in debt in last financial year. If we compare 2016-17, it stood at 93.5 crore, which is now reduced to 68 crores. With loan of India Pool and term loan fully paid, company average cost of debt would be in range of 9 to 10%, as against of 12% in the last financial year. Interest cost in 21-22 stood at 8.98% as compared to 9.56% in 2021. Expected interest cost, what we aim, will further be down by 1% in 22-23. Though the debtor has gone up from 25 crores to 33 crores, that too because of increase in revenue, but day sales outstanding has come down from 70 days to 51 days. The draft EPR policy is out for public comments and about to be notified by June 22. Once it is notified, this will strengthen the supply chain and ELT collection will be more organized across the country. Finally, I am pleased to inform you that the board has recommended a dividend of Rs. 4 per equity shares for the financial year ended 2022, subject to approval of shareholders. With that, now we can open the floor to the questions and answer session. Over to you, Anuj.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CEO Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Now you're audible.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Congratulations, sir. Amazing results. You've really done remarkably well. Sir, I have actually four questions, if you will allow me. So first is, if you can give the data for the trading side of the business. So how much bitumen trading happened during the quarter and also for the year?
Would you like to list, give us a list of all your questions and then we can tackle them one
sure.
by one? If, you know, if there is any overlap,
sure.
for us to answer.
Perfect, sir, perfect. So the first question is on the trading business. How much was the bitumen trading for the quarter and for the year? And what kind of impact did it have at the EBITDA level? So how much EBITDA was the core business generating and how much was from bitumen trading? Second, sir, from last year, what kind of price increases have we seen in our end products? I know it will be very difficult for you to give because we have such a huge basket of products, but a ballpark number would do. What kind of ASP gains we have seen. Next, sir, you mentioned that you expect the notification for the draft policy to happen in June. So did I hear that correctly? And so that's a sure shot thing which is happening now, definitely in June, or is it just, something that has been, are we hoping for a June notification or that has been confirmed by someone? And the final question is on the power side. So there is a lot of inflation that we have seen on the power and fuel side. So what are you seeing? This is something that I've asked you in the past as well. But has anything changed because industry at large is facing huge inflation on the power and fuel side? These are my first, at least the first set of questions, sir. Thank you.
Sure. Could you please repeat me your name? I didn't quite get your name.
So this is Agastya.
Agastya, yes. Hi, Agastya. This is Gaurav. Thank you for your questions. In regards to bitumen trading, it's a very small part of our business.
Yes.
I have our CFO handy who is going to give me a more approximate number and we So our total bitumen trading for the FY22 is approximately 18-19 crores. Our guardrail of bitumen trading is very clear. We only trade and source bitumen for some of our customers when they ask us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we work on a back-to-back margin zero cash flow deployment basis. So we only take up any bitumen trading on these two bases. It is not a focus area for us today. That is my answer on the bitumen trading side.
Okay.
Second, on the price increase impact, depending on products, Agastya, we have managed a price increase of between 5 to 10% in the last in FY22. Largely, the negotiations, you know, for price increases happened in Q2, and they fructified, you know, in Q3 and to some extent in Q4. It's an ongoing process. We are continuing to engage with our customers on this, but we have secured between 5 to 10% depending on the customer and depending on the product. On the draft EPR policy, it has been extensively discussed. Fortunately for us, government involved us in the committees as well, which was drafting these, which has drafted this policy. We believe at this point it is with the Ministry of Environment, I believe with the Minister, but there is no certain way of knowing it, pending approval. It has, you know, cleared the public suggestion process. It has been recommended and endorsed by NITI Aayog. But, you know, with government work, it is tough to predict accurately when something like that would happen. But we believe we are not far from it getting implemented. On the cost escalation on account of power, right now the bigger concern for us is getting stable power. That is a challenge that is being faced by all industries, and we are no exception. So we are not as fussed about the cost escalation today, more about stable and continuous supply of power. That is a bigger concern.
But could you put a number on the hit you are taking directly or indirectly, either through higher price or the hit you are taking due to, let's say, reduced volume because you are not getting adequate power? Is there a quantity that you can mention that this is my hit because of this power problem?
So at this point, we have not yet seen the grids increasing power. So there is no increase of power. There is, you know, like I said, the concern is about stable and continuous supply. This disruption also has been faced more in the last few weeks, I would say. And fortunately, because we are very well de-risked in a manner of speaking. I mean, we have one plant in Himachal, one in Haryana, one in Maharashtra, one in Tamil Nadu, West Bengal. So we are able to you know, cope and manage with it. It has not seriously impacted, but you know, certainly. You know, there have been power cuts, etc. But the impact is minimal at this point. Agastya, your voice became very faint. I could not hear what you just said.
Sir, I said that I have two other questions, but I'll go back in the queue and give others an opportunity, and I'll come back with two other questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav. From Raksan Investors, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. Could you help understand what kind of CRMB volumes and margins we've done in the past 1 to 2 years? So how would that compare to the 25,000 metric ton business we've secured for next year? And also a bit clarity on the contract structure, if this is fixed price or the entire tenure, and it will be more susceptible to margin pressures if we see higher ELT prices.
Yeah. Hi, Keshav. This is Subodh here. So I will take this question. See, when I talk about the CRMB is the crumb rubber modified bitumen. But here our role is like 25,000 tons of CRMB. That means CRMB processing, wherein my product only crumb rubber will be going to the contractor. Okay, so bitumen will be coming from the refinery. So this business is for the road. Like, you know, if we are securing this business from 12 to 16 months, so this may be extendable another for 2 to 3 months, because many times the road, highways and all, you know, sometimes stuck in some environment or something. So it is 2 to 4 months extendable.
But here our business will be purely the supply of recycled rubber material, and that we shall be processing as an operation and maintenance part of operation and maintenance contract, and that will be the only our involvement with that.
Sure, sir. And so what has been the movement in ELT prices, both domestic and imported, over the past few months? It's a CR in my case. We are currently a month and a half.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible now? Is it audible
yes.
now?
Yes.
Yeah. If I see our inventories, we are currently at a month and a half. So how much of it would be raw material, and what is our strategy currently with the kind of price uncertainty we've seen through?
Hi, Keshav, Gaurav here. I think your question is directed more towards how we are ensuring stable and regular supply of ELTs for our plants, right?
Yes, sir. On the price point, and also as well as what our overall strategy is going to be, we're tackling the volatility.
Sure. So this is very much a game of, you know, increasing optionality. That is how we are addressing it. Early part of FY22, we had large origination out of Europe. We now have built a pretty good origination out of, you know, Middle East as well. We are seeing more stable supplies coming from Australia. Our strategy to tackle this is by just having more optionality, and we are continuously working on creating new origins for us, as well as strengthening our domestic origination by tie-ups like we have with at least two major Indian tire producers, and we are in the midst of, you know, discussions to have similar tires with two more. So this is how we are ensuring regular supply as well as keeping our price in check, because when we have optionality, then we can dial back down on any origination which, you know, tends to creep up in price.
Awesome. So if I can take one small one, and then I'll join back in the queue. So from where we stand, once inroad into tire companies' wallet share is made, is it sort of an irreversible trend? So what I mean is, now for lower value applications such as rubber mats, you would have some cyclicality depending on what is cheaper and more readily available. But with tires, the companies have to be more deliberate with which explain for long gestations and high entry barriers. So is it fair to assume that this could become a strong annuity business for us with the superior margins going forward?
Very much so. I could not articulate it better as you have done in your question. The entry barrier and the time it takes to break into tire businesses, tire companies, it's a 3, maybe 5 year process depending on the company. And they really have very little motivation to change their formulations and all of that. So you kind of, the answer is in your question that this has and will continue to result into strong annuity flow for our company.
And so how soon can we expect a double digit contribution coming from tires?
How do you mean double digit? Can you please clarify?
As a percentage of revenue.
So, Keshav, our non-road business, which is basically all tire companies, conveyor belting companies, rubber mat companies, all of that, you know, was in the year 16-17 was a meager 45 odd crores. I have the number in front of me. I'll share with you. In financial year FY15, our non-road sector business was 41 crores. And that in FY22 has grown to 150 crores. So that is the kind of growth we have seen. And we believe that, you know, while we have done extremely well, even if we say so ourselves, in working with Indian tire businesses, we see tremendous headroom for our company in with some of the large multinationals with whom we are at different stages of conversation. Like I said, it's a 3 to 5 year process. So still a lot of headroom for growth, Keshav.
All right, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Ramakrishnan from Vista Investments LLC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations on the very good set of numbers. So I have just one question, and that's kind of got to do with the demand that you're seeing for your recycled rubber from the tire industry. Would it be fair to say that a lot of the demand that you're seeing from that industry is due to high natural and synthetic rubber prices? And if so, can we see a bit of dampening of this demand in the next in FY23?
Hello, Mr. Rahul. This is Subodh here. So I will take this question. So, like you said, no, we don't foresee like this because we are experiencing after meeting all these companies more than the price. You know, they are more concerned about the environment and the circular economy. So all these tire companies are having some sustainability missions. Like, you know, their company, Michelin. Michelin is having a sustainability mission like 2048. By 2048, they will be ready with the tire which will be made out of 70% sustainable raw material, out of which 30% will be the recycled rubber material. So on the same line, even Indian tire majors are also having their sustainability mission, and they are exploring more and more usages of recycled rubber material in their compound. So that's the, another reason we see sales are growing with the tire companies, like you have seen, you know, from 41 crores to 149 crores. And in the time to come, this is going to be stable, and because of the environment and sustainability reasons, they are not going to just because of price.
Rahul here. I'll just very quick, add also that, you know, all commodities are in a bit of a super cycle at this point of time, and, you know, virgin polymer is either in the form of natural rubber or synthetic rubber, which is a derivative of petroleum. All commodities are in a bit of a super cycle now, and rubber as it is has a 7 to 10 year cycle of price movement, historically speaking. And, in short, we don't expect prices of virgin polymer to correct in the near future. Since it's relevant, I thought I'll also mention this.
Okay, so just a follow-up to that. So personally, you know, like all commodities, I do not expect rubber prices as you said, we are in a super cycle. But even in a super cycle, we do tend to see minor declines, right? Let's say there's like a 20% decline. I'm not saying that prices will go back to like pre-COVID levels. But even if there's like a 20% decline in price, won't that like affect you a bit, like even a little bit? Like, are you saying that you're totally immune to any decline in, natural or synthetic rubber prices?
Our take, Rahul, is not so much because, you know, at the end of the day, one is how Subodh explained that every tire business has a strong sense of, commitment to environment and using more sustainable materials. Also, the change will only be if virgin polymer prices come down, granted that their level of saving may come down, but it's still a saving. So why would you sacrifice that?
Not only the saving, Rahul, if you see the recycled rubber material and the polymer, there is still a 4x difference, you know. So that is the one reason. Second reason is not only the natural rubber or synthetic polymer price has gone up. If you see in the last couple of months, even due to the price rise raw material, our product is also up. Sales price has also gone up. Even then, the user is attracted to use it more and more. So if that will come down, also reflecting in our input material, and my sale price will also be a little bit, slightly better.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. You've answered my questions very well. And just one last question. The penetration of your reclaimed rubber in tire manufacturing, like, do you have an estimate, like, at what percentage are most tire manufacturers using it versus, like, you know, the mix?
See, right now most of these tire companies are using 3 to 5% of regenerated reclaimed rubber, and if you talk about the conveyor belting business, they are using 20 to 30% of reclaimed rubber in their compound. But they are exploring, even tire companies are exploring, you know, they want to escalate it up to, you know, 10% of this material, and that's the reason, like I have covered in my statement, you know, the upgraded version of micronized rubber powder and the reclaimed rubber we are introducing to the tire company. So that's the reason, like, you know, we were making a micronized rubber powder of 80 mesh. And mesh is something related to the fineness of the material. Today we are selling 140 mesh, which is much, much finer product. So that encouraged user to use, you know, almost double what he was using 80 mesh. So similar way on the reclaim also, from many years, the reclaim in the market is judged by their tensile strength. So market was depending on the normal tensile reclaim. We now have introduced the high tensile reclaim, which encouraged them to use more dosages. So that's where they can go, you know, higher on the dosages with the time.
Brilliant, sir, brilliant. Suffice to say that exciting times for Tina Rubber here to say. I wish you all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Devesh Sharma from DS Investment Inc. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Quick question on the industry construct itself, right? So, like you rightly said, that you started non-road segment somewhere around 16, 17, and it's almost 3x from that, right? So this push angle, right, where we sort of educate industry participants, manufacturing companies and everybody, versus once they start using it and then it becomes a pull product, right? So how do you see this transition playing out for us currently as well as in coming year? I just wanted your view on that construct.
Hi, Devesh. So, you know, Subodh briefly mentioned and spoke about how we are trying to go into even more specialized products and innovation, enabling tire companies to use higher doses of recycled rubber materials. Because at the end of the day, you know, none of the tire businesses will compromise safety or longevity of their product. So our attempt and focus for FY23 is to continue to innovate, and one proof of that is how we have, you know, started making 140 mesh ambient grinding MRP versus 80 mesh when we started, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And this finer mesh size is enabling tire companies to use higher doses as well as using it in applications and tires which otherwise they would not have considered to use recycled rubber materials. You know, for example, tire companies have always been quite open to use recycled rubber materials in two-wheeler tires, off-road tires, agriculture tires, etc., but not so much in radial tires. What we are expecting is that as we go up the value chain, we are opening opportunities for ourselves as well as tire companies to use more recycled materials in radial tires as well. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does, right. And the second one would be, you know, if you could sort of look at broadly three segments that we operate in, which is the road, and within non-road, the tire and the belt industry, and as well as third being the steels. If you were to look at a few years out, how do you see these segments as a mix of overall consolidated? And if you could comment about the margin profile of each of these, and how would you, you know, sort of see your company evolving in that direction? That would be helpful. Thank you.
Sure. So on the road application side, we see strong growth because many new mega projects have been announced by the government, new connectivities. You know, Subodh can give you specifics, but many of these new projects now have already in their specification that they will be using modified bitumen. And as and when these roads come towards completion, that is when we will see sales for us, because our product is used right at the end, you know, when they are doing the bituminous concrete. But looking at the pipeline, we see, you know, fairly good growth, stable growth, multiple projects, multiple parts of India. So that is one. I mean, to expect a growth of about, you know, 20-odd% year on year, to me seems very achievable on this side. On the non-road side, on the tire companies, you know, normal, you know, if the tire industry grows 15%, 20% year on year, that growth will come to us. That is just natural. Besides that, with innovation and, you know, R&D that we are doing, as we make more specialized grades of products, those inclusion rates, I believe, will help us drive growth, which will be exceptional, different from the routine growth, as well as we see a very strong opportunity for us in exports into the non-road sector, because already that line, that business is there. Our peers, in the industry are successfully doing it. Our share of exports is still small. So we see a very good and large opportunity for us, and that is going to be our focus in FY23.
Okay, great. Thank you. And if you could also comment on the margin profile of both tire, non-tire, and the steel segment.
I would like to, you know, answer that on a combined basis. You see, we have witnessed EBITDA margin expansion by about 200 bps between FY21 and FY22. We've gone up from about 13.5% to 15.5% in FY22. I would like to see, you know, the my full expectation is, I'm being a bit calibrated in my response here, but I expect us, you know, to further gain on this. We are very confident on that.
Okay, sounds good. The direction is good enough. Thank you for your answers. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Karan from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and great. A couple of questions from my end. The first is with respect to volume.
Could you Karan, sorry, volume? But your voice is breaking.
Hello, is this better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks. So, a couple of questions from me. First is regarding volumes. So, could you help me out with the volumes in Q4, Q3, and FY22? And the second question is with respect to the working capital cycle. We've seen a good reduction, you know, across all three components. So, if you could just help us understand what this could be going forward and, you know, what could be the drivers? Would it be receivables, inventories, or payables? So, these two, yeah.
Hi, sorry, what's your name again? This is Gaurav.
Hi, this is Karan.
Hi, Karan. Hi. So, your second part of the question was in relating to working capital cycle. Can you just please ask that again?
Right, so we've seen a significant improvement in our working capital cycle this year versus the last couple of years. So, just want to understand how sustainable this is going forward, and you know, how do you expect this to play out, and if you could just give some more qualitative inputs in terms of, you know, what has driven this improvement, and could this carry on going forward?
Okay, so I'll take this question first. This is Gaurav, Karan. So Karan, on the improvement in working capital cycle, this is a function of, you know, we have the kind of customers, the quality of customers we are dealing with, and that, you know, is enabling this improvement in better collection cycle, as well as on the working capital cycle. We have just squeezed more efficiencies out by keeping lower inventories of finished products, and that is just you know, this our drive towards optimization that has resulted in that. I see less scope of dramatic improvement on this front. I mean, we have already become quite efficient both in raw material supply chain, in finished good inventory, as well as our average collection days that we have with the customers. So I hope that answers your question on the working capital cycle. On the on your first question, Subodh, would you like to just answer that?
See, if we compare 2021, so during that year we processed 33,000 tons of ELDs, and in 21-22 we have crushed almost 45,000 tons of ELDs. So that way we have almost 40%. Up 33%. Yes, 33% up on the tire crushing side. So if you see the product wise, like the road sector volume has grown. CRM's crumb rubber modifier, what we sell to the refinery, that has grown from 6,000 tons to 9,500 tons to the refinery. Bitumen emulsion in the road sector goes, that also is almost same. There is no, stable with the previous year volumes. And if we see the reclaim rubber, there is a reclaim rubber is also almost same as per the previous year. There is a some operational issues in starting of the fourth devulcanizer at our Chennai factory, which is starting in this year, in this Q1. So that has, because of that, the volume is almost same. And we see the total crumb rubber production, so that also has gone up from 25,000 tons to 37,000 tons.
All right, and that was helpful. And what would be the expectations or hopes for FY23 with respect to volumes?
So, you know, without elaborating too much on FY23, we are very confident of around 20-25% growth. Last year, you know, we had given an indication of around 25-30%. We grew 80%. So this year, I can tell you that our business plan and projections, etc., are showing that, you know, a growth of approximately 20-25% is very much achievable.
Got it. That was very helpful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So, my name is Sumangal. My first question, so I have three. Could you help me understand the opportunity size for each of the segments? So maybe if you can explain the industry structure in terms of what are the industry volumes and what volumes we do. So market share, perhaps what market share we have in each segment. That is the first question.
Hi, this is Gaurav Sumangal. So, on the modified bitumen market itself in India is only about 10% today of the total bitumen sales. So we have and within modified bitumen there are essentially, you know, two or three variants. There is crumb rubber modified bitumen, there is polymer modified bitumen. We have dominant market share in crumb rubber modified bitumen. We are not as bullish on the polymer modified bitumen today. We can make it. We've done it in the past. But our forte really is crumb rubber modified bitumen. So when you ask about the total industry and the opportunity, we are only beginning to again scratch the surface of the opportunity as the government and the contractors and everyone are getting more aware of the benefits of modified bitumen. Like I said, we are under 10% today and we expect this to grow quite substantially. So that is the opportunity on the road side. And why I also mentioned to you a little bit about the two different types of modified bitumen is because, you know, if we see traction coming up and we are doing our own research on even a plastic and rubber modified bitumen, if we see those trends catching on and those products getting approvals, we are fully geared up, you know, to also harvest benefits. in that. So that is on the road side. On the non-road side, I think I answered earlier that, you know, it's a function of new research, innovation, which is being done both at by tire companies, rubber molded good companies, conveyor belting companies, and by us. So I think there is a lot of opportunity still in innovation within the products to increase its usage and application. At this point, that's all I can tell you.
Okay, so you won't be able to share maybe volumetric numbers or what is the bitumen market size in India and how much volume we do so far.
So bitumen market, I told you, is, you know, that modified bitumen market is, let's say, under 10% of total bitumen sold. And total bitumen sold in India is about 7 to 8 million tons annually.
Total bitumen consumption in India is around 7 to 8 million metric ton, out of which 2 million metric ton is being imported. Around 5 to 6 million metric ton is domestically produced, right? So there is a great demand and import is also, you know, picking up in India. So almost 7 to 8%, 9% is the modified bitumen requirement because you cannot use the modified bitumen on all the roads. Like rural road is more towards the cold mix technology. State highways and the other roads consume the normal bitumen. So expressway and the roads which are having the traffic density requirement of 50 MSA, that's the norm as per the government of Ministry of Surface Road Transport. So that expressway and highway requirement is the modified bitumen. So considering all that background, so we see there is a approximate potential of around 8 to 10%.
Okay.
But India right now is consuming somewhere around 2 lakh tons to 2.5 lakh tons of modified bitumen in total. But there is a great scope, great potential for this.
Okay.
And similarly, on the non-road sector side, like you asked about the peers, see, as against the peers, there's a specialty products what we are making is the micronized rubber powders and the HT high tensile reclaim. So in the micronized rubber powder, we are the largest and we are having over 90% of market share and we have entry with almost all the tire companies and the conveyor belting business in India. So in the micronized rubber powder, we are the largest.
Okay, and on the road side, the trend of your asphalt usage in versus cement in the construction of roads, is that a trend that is helping you, and is that a sustainable trend you're seeing in the road construction?
No, I don't foresee. In fact, government decided to go for the concretization of the road in 2015-16, but they has been reversed in 2018 onwards. They are focusing expressways and highways more flexible payments like bituminous roads. So concrete road will be more the city roads and the area where the water and you know drainage issues are there. So for that reason only.
Okay. Okay. And I have a couple of questions on the balance sheet. So do you plan to raise any capital, since I understand this is a capital intensive business, so do we have plans to raise capital, or you feel like you have enough capital from internal sources to fund the growth? And the last
as
point
of now
is
we
on,
have no plans to generate more capital, capex investment, etc. So in this the FY 2022-23, we have no plans for this capex and all.
Okay. And the last question is on certain related party transactions that you have and guarantees you've given to group companies. What is the status and nature of those?
Hi, Gaurav here, Sumangal. I'll take this question. So, you know, historically, small, mid-sized businesses like ours, you know, in order for us to raise loans, there has been need for such guarantees. We are certainly not, we have not added also in the last few years to any new guarantees, and we are consciously making an effort to reduce these guarantees year on year. We have already done so in the last 1.5 years. We've reduced corporate guarantee to some extent. And something relevant to mention here is that anywhere where Tina Rubber has given a corporate guarantee today, those loans are individually backed by collateral of that company, as well as some other collateral from the promoters as guarantee. So this is also relevant, I think, for you to consider.
Sure. And the investment in BJK Intratech, what does this business do? And you're carrying it at 20 crores. So is that supposed to be written down at all?
No, it is not to be. I mean, there is no need to write down. In fact, any investments that we have done which were not core to our business, we have exited many of them. This one is remaining, and we are making efforts to exit from this as well, as it is not core to our business. It is not considered core to our business anymore. And every such investment exited by Tina Rubber has been exited with a profit, and I expect the same to happen with BJK Infratech whenever it happens.
Right. So you have a return on capital employed kind of a benchmark within the organization. So, like, you have defined capital allocation strategy, which you guys would follow now?
It's since last now a few years, that has been our strategy, and we are following it religiously. We have, you know, some target in mind for key financial indicators. We are keeping a very keen eye on them. And our focus is to, you know, build our business in the space of tire recycling and what is allied to that, and that is what will take all our attention as well as resource going forward.
Thank you so much. All the best for the next year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sujoy Ghosh, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi, sir. Congrats on a great financial year 22. So my first question is, what would be our capacity utilization at the end of quarter four?
End of quarter four last financial year?
Right.
We are at, this is Gaurav, we are at around 75% to 80% capacity utilization now.
Okay. And like you mentioned in an earlier meeting that you might be looking at some capex in the coming year. So is that on track, or what is the status of that?
We have done some minimal capex in FY22, largely towards either debottlenecking and to squeeze more capacity out of our plants, or in specifically to only enhance capacity in our value-added products, specialized products. And that is where focus will remain even in FY23. But that total quantum of capex will be quite minimal compared to the cash flows, etc., that we are generating.
Yeah, so some debottlenecking is what you will do, and no greenfield or brownfield.
We are always looking for opportunities. We are not shutting ourselves on that. If something really compelling comes along the way, we will look at it. But at this point, you know, that is not the case.
Okay. And sir, you had mentioned that exports is a bit of a low-hanging fruit for a company like you. So how are we doing on that, and what is the hindrance, or do we need to have country-specific teams in all those countries where you want to export, or what are the plans on that side?
We are very much looking at that and focused on that, on exports, and our exports have grown from FY21 to FY22 in specialized products. There was one commoditized grade business export that we were doing, which we lost out in FY22 because of very, very high prohibitive freight rates. We hope that will come back as soon as freight rates correct. But, you know, we continue to see a very large opportunity for us in exports. We have had some degree of success in markets like Sri Lanka, but there are many, many untapped markets still, and we are seeing some very positive, you know, developments there. I hope some of those will start yielding results from probably Q2 or Q3.
Okay, great, sir. And sir, on a quarterly basis in Q4, our revenues have dipped a little. So what would this be on account of? Was there a bit delayed construction activity, road construction activity in quarter four?
See, quarter four, there is a slight drop on, you know, as compared to Q3. That is because, you know, in the winter season, the road infrastructure is normally at the very slow pace because of the temperature issue. And during the winter, even rubber processing work is also slightly slow because more and more exports from these tire manufacturers also slow down. You know, they start picking up from the February onwards. So that's the one reason the road sector was down, and non-road also, you know, started picking up by end of January or February, early February. So that's the reason. And secondly, you know, we were witnessing a rise in the input raw material pricing from November, December. So we also, you know, very much cautious about the price revision with the customer. So because of that, you know, due to the slowdown, even that price revision with the customer also took little time. So that's why we see a slow sales in the Q4.
Okay. And sir, if I look at a full financial year, so what kind of trend do we see? Is there any seasonality or is it more or less linear throughout the year, say H1 versus H2 or December quarter versus June quarter? Is there any seasonality or is it mostly linear?
It depends on the kind of work, but normally, especially for the road sector, there is slightly slow growth in the monsoon, and if the winter is, you know, 15 December to around end of January, there is a slight drop in the sale.
Okay, thanks, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CEO Capital. Please go ahead.
Audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. Sir, a lot of the follow-up questions were answered. Sir, I just need some clarity because the line was very, very poor in between. So, can you give me the FY22 full year volume number of tire crushed?
Agastya, why don't you, if I recommend,
I'll get it from Anuj and his team. Sir, one thing that I noticed that the associate company this time around has shown a break-even number. So, but you also said that you're looking to get out of it. So, are there any timelines in your mind? Does it make sense to hang on to it given the pedigree of the company?
So I think you're mixing up, Agastya, between the investment we have in BJK Infratech and TP Buildtech.
Right, because the names are very similar. So the associate company, are you still?
TP Buildtech is the one that you rightly have said has managed to firstly grow from a top line of 28 crores to 45 crores in FY22 and also managed to make a small nominal profit. We have no desire or inclination to get out of this business. We firmly believe in it. It's a fantastic fit to Tina Rubber because it is in the space of concrete admixtures and the customer base is very similar to that of Tina Rubber. We have a strong working partner in this company, which is the promoter of PI Industries. So we are looking to further strengthen and build this company.
Right. I was...
Agastya, sorry, we lost your audio.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was a bit confused because you said that it is not core to your business and I was a bit surprised with that. I actually...
That is BJK Infratech. Those investments were made about 5-7 years ago. That is where we will look to exit and just use our liquidity into our core activities and strengthen both rubber as well as, you know, TP Buildtech.
On the cost part, right, now you have reached 75-80% capacity utilization. So the first question is that what is the peak theoretical capacity utilization that you can achieve? Is it like 95% or you can actually hit 100%?
Well, we are looking to firstly expand our capacity itself by debottlenecking. We still see some opportunities there and we are aggressively working on that. You know, I think the number that was mentioned to you on tire crushing for FY22 we have crushed approximately 45,000 tons of tires. In the current financial year, we expect our tire processing, even with just simple debottlenecking and those kind of initiatives, to cross about 65,000 tons is our expectation.
Right, that is after debottlenecking.
Yes, yes, that's correct. Which is, you know, those are some of the opportunities we've already got earmarked, and you know we can deliver on that.
So, sir, can you help me understand one thing, that given that the policy that we were so like awaiting for some time, and it seems like it is right around the corner, and as of now it has not been notified, and you already have a visibility of, let's say, 65,000 ton production, and the demand is also looking fairly good, and the demand is only going to increase. So wouldn't it be a right time to actually go for a brownfield or a greenfield expansion? Because I'm pretty sure if it is a greenfield expansion, land acquisition itself will take 6 months. Construction will then again take probably a year. If it is a brownfield, again, then you will have to order the equipment. You'll have to set it up. You'll have to make other arrangements. So the capacity expansion bit is something which I am, like, things are not adding up, because you definitely have good visibility, right?
Agastya, we do. Firstly, we built 5 plants. So, you know, in terms of the ability to build fast and efficiently, you know, I believe we have acquired that capability. And you know, I think you just have to take our word for this, that, you know, at the first instance of such opportunity becoming even more clear and visible, we will not hesitate. I can't hear you anymore.
Hello. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. One final question, sir. Based on our previous interactions, we could see that there is a possibility that as the capacity utilization keeps on increasing, you can hit that 18-19% EBITDA margin levels. So given the inflationary situation, is there anything that has changed from that which can put any kind of margin pressure, based on the information you have as of now? We can't predict the future, but has anything changed which would change your margin trajectory?
We have found our business to be now very resilient, you know, to some of these market shocks that we have witnessed in FY22, be it freight, logistics, you know, rise in petroleum prices, commodities, etc. I am very confident that, you know, we have the ability to sustain and tackle effectively any such eventualities, and I do not see any reason why our business should not be achieving, you know, a much better EBITDA than 15.5%, which is what we have achieved this year.
Amazing, sir. Congratulations again, sir. Your performance was just spectacular this year. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Roxanne Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Could you help understand about MRP and reclaimed rubber usage in tires? So do the applications vary, or is it that MRP can contribute a higher replacement potential?
See, MRP and reclaim both are having the different applications. So MRP is picking up. You know, reclaim is more a degenerated. It doesn't add, you know, it doesn't add, you know, the added advantage to the rubber compound. It is just a cost-saving option for the user. Whereas the micronized rubber powder, MRP, is it's a semi-enforcing filler. So this is basically helps in the cost-saving, as well as it also gives the stable parameters, technical parameters to the tire user, tire producer.
So, sir, for MRP, what could be other potential high-value application areas apart from tires? Could we target other niche areas such as transmission belts, etc.? And are we seeing any traction or talks?
Sure. now we are ready and we have upgraded, you know, the 80 mesh to 120 and 140 now. So 140 is finding the application in the radial tires, in the transmission belt, conveyor belt. So higher dosages and the many other compounds also can be used.
All right, sir. And sir, lastly, what are the current domestic and imported ELT prices?
Anurup.
So my name is Anurup. So I'll answer this question. Currently, we are not much focusing on the domestic front. We are more focusing on the importing part. Although, you know, there is increase in the freight, but on the domestic side, it's a very less purchase from our side as of now.
Any color on the prices?
On the pricing side, the domestic prices are in the range of around 22-23 rupees per kg. And there is a good delta still between the imported and the domestic prices, at least 5-6 rupees.
This is particularly, we are talking about the south and west region. If you talk about the north region, where the landlocked area, you know, Delhi and the close by area, so that price is now somewhere around 28 rupees a kg.
The rates
so
I gave you.
Yeah. Okay. So in March also, I think it was around 28, 29. So it has stayed in that range, or has there been some softening?
These are volatile. These depends upon the movements, you know, the pricing movements of, you know, some fuel or something. So these are volatile. So these keeps on changing. So these are not something, you know, we can keep on relating on the previous months. So, you know, month-wise also these keep on changing with a fall or rise of 2-3 rupees. So, yeah.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. This is Gaurav again. I appreciate everyone who's taken part and has shown interest in our business and also invested in our company. As management, we remain focused to deliver, you know, excelling results, performance for our shareholders. I would like to close by just maybe, you know, informing on what our focus areas will be for FY23. That should help give you take a more informed decision. We are going to be focused on increasing exports. We see tremendous headroom and growth opportunity there. In this year, we are aiming to bring higher efficiency in shipping and logistic costs. Of course, the situation is very dynamic and that is why it needs our attention. We are looking to build higher efficiency in origination of raw materials, domestic as well as what we source from overseas. Tina will focus in research and development and product innovation. We see large opportunities untapped in this area. We are strengthening our team here and our abilities. And our strong focus will be to build a robust balance sheet with best-in-class key financial indicators. So these are some of the areas that we'll be working on in FY23. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.